Welcome to Our Job to be Done. My name is Johannes. I'm an innovation consultant and author and the founder of the Our Job to be Done initiative. As you can hear, this is an English episode we do with a very, very special guest who's really an icon in his area, who's the global number one. It's Mr. Tim Hughes, who's number one in terms of social selling worldwide. And we recorded this episode at the DeepHulse conference in Zurich, Switzerland. And it's very, very interesting to play this episode now in the times of Corona we are in, because what we talked about and what we basically were bringing some light in was the question, what means social for us? I mean, we all came from a point like thinking of social media, but in the end, isn't social also related to kind of a how are we socializing in the end? That's the question we talk about with Tim Hughes at Our Job to be Done.
At DeepHulse conference, digital conference in Zurich, has been an amazing day.
It's been fantastic.
And I can really say wow to the organizers. And certainly I'm not sitting here alone. I'm sitting here with Tim, and please quickly.
I'm Tim Hughes. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Digital Leadership Associates. We provide social transformation to organizations, so social selling. We're just launching our social HR module, and then we'll go on to customer service and finance and procurement.
Perfect. And the question we're going to look at together is in terms of social, because the wording social sounds so easy, but on the other side, I mean, we're here at the business conference and actually everyone is kind of hoping to make business with social. But if we look in detail in terms of how currently social is going to be used and also especially business-wise, does it really work, or isn't it like we need to actually rethink, we need to redefine the way we're using social?
I think that, quite often social is seen as being posting. You know, we go on holiday and we post our pictures on Facebook or Instagram and we feel better because we get likes. Whereas social is also a bit like what we've been doing today, which is you go along to a conference, you meet people. I generally just walk up to people and say, hi, who are you? And we have a conversation. And I've met people here today that I've never met before. But I've probably I've met five people. Whereas on social, I'm able to do that at scale.
Yep.
So what I did before I came to this event was I sent a LinkedIn connection request to every single speaker that was on the that was registered. I said, I'm coming along, be really great to talk to you. And I've had people coming up to me saying, hi, Tim, how you doing? And immediately the people actually know me. So we've actually taken a step forward in terms of the way that we know each other.
Yeah.
I think there's an element of trust because they've seen me online and I have a profile and people can come along and look at that. And everybody has a profile, whether they like it or not, that's open 24 hours a day, 365 days a week. Both what we do passively and actively on social. And what we're able to do then on social is meet more people. And the more people you meet, the more opportunity is it that it will take. What you do will spread. Doesn't mean that the people you meet are going to buy something. Mm-hmm. It may be that the people that you meet go, Tim Hughes is a really nice guy. He does these things. You need to talk to him.
Quickly coming at this point of how to use social, and you also mentioned it, I got the feeling kind of the way we're using social is a bit like translating advertising into a social environment.
Yes. Well, I hate advertising. So we as a company, we do no outbound marketing at all. We do everything on social. We do no advertising. We do no cold calling. We don't send any unsolicited emails because we think that people don't like that. We think that the days of interruption and broadcast are over. And while I can be shown research that shows the amount of digital advertising is increasing, I actually think it's increasing because people don't know what to do with the money, and they should actually be spending the money elsewhere. We ignore it. We use ad blockers. We use, you know, we have in our own minds a way of blocking all that noise out. And what we're looking for is now a relationship and a permission based way of working with people. Yeah. So quite often people say that LinkedIn ads is social. It's not. LinkedIn ads is advertising. It's again, what you're trying to do is you're trying to interrupt me and you're going to broadcast something and I'm not interested. What I am interested in is probably you. I'm interested in what you do. I'm interested in your past. I'm interested in your vision on life. I'm interested in your values. And a lot of people I know in Germany, and we have the same in the UK, people aren't interested in me. We are. In the UK, if you go into a news agent, which for some people that's where they sell these old newspapers, which old people read. If you go into a news agent, the thing that they sell the most of is actually celebrity magazines. And the reason why people they sell those is people are interested in those people. And people are also interested in everybody in this room and what they do and what they value. So we've moved from advertising interruption to permission-based way of working.
Yes, and the interesting part is related to that. If we look at the current way quite often social is used in the business context, I'm also quite active on social and I get requests from people who are saying, hey, I'm selling this and that and let's get connected. And I'm just saying, why? Mm-hmm. You know, it's for me, it's more like cold calls that I get. Yeah. Yeah? And on the other side, I'm a relationship thinking guy, you're as well. I think it's kind of reminding people needed, and that's a mind shift, that it's actually a relationship you have out there, and it also needs to reconnect actually to how you collaborate internally.
The mistake that people make about the term social selling is they think it's selling on social.
Exactly.
And the thing is that... you know, it's a bit like someone walking up to me in a bar and saying, can we get married? You know, at least buy me a drink first. You know, you'd want to get to know the person a little bit before you'd actually say yes. When people basically come along and pitch their products, it's actually just a cold call on a social network. Yeah. What they're doing is they're interrupting you and they're broadcasting. Now, it is possible to go to people on social, and we do this, if you have the right profile. I go to CEOs and I go to CEOs and I say, and I'll ask them a question, and usually I will get meetings. Yeah. Now, you won't get that through cold calling, because you'll never get through the various people, their assistants that are stopping it. You won't get that through email, because the assistants will have blocked that all out. But if you have a number of attributes, then you should be able to get higher quicker actually using social than using all of those old school sales and marketing legacy processes.
Yes, and I think if I describe a bit what happens in the companies, you remember a couple of 20 years ago, CRM was coming, then social was coming, and then we had the term social CRM, like we mentioned before, but it always came like puzzle pieces all together. And I still have the feeling within the companies, these puzzle pieces are still existing, but in terms of connecting everything together and also to get the internal power and to get it out there, it's kind of missing. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah, I think that there's... you know, CRMs generally used as way of putting in data and for sales managers to run forecasts. Where I've actually used social in conjunction with the CRM to enable... so we were getting... Most CRMs are probably accurate to about plus or minus 100%. They're not accurate. You know, yeah. It's a salesperson's... Whereas we actually got... We were running a sales forecast of 95% accuracy. And we were doing that through social. And what we were doing is that we were using internal social in conjunction with the CRM. And the great thing about social is that there's nowhere you can't hide. So when I run the company on social, if you email me between 9 and 5:30, you don't get a response from me. So I get a lot of people coming to me, so have you seen that email? I go, no, we run the business on Slack. Yeah, if you want to get hold of me, you Slack me. You don't send me emails. It's just a time sink. So what you do is you'll find that when you're using social, I'm able to look across the organization and I'm able to see who's contributing. I can see who's working, who's doing stuff, and I know who isn't.
Yep.
And from a leadership perspective, that's an amazing thing that I never thought was possible.
Absolutely, and I think that kind of detailed look helps because, as we said, we want to help people and look in the session right now, are you actually able to build business
yep.
out of it? But you said also that angle in terms of using it internally. I think quite a lot of companies are not there already, or they have the association, I use Slack or something like that. Well, it needs more. It really needs to go into the organization.
Yeah, it's a change program. What we always find when we move people over from using email to using social was that immediately people wanted to go back. They'd go back to email.
Yeah.
And you end up running the two in parallel, and then you gradually get people when they recognise the benefit of it. Is that you'll see them moving over to using social. Social is a shorter way of, it's a bit like sending someone a text. You don't have to write, so how are you and stuff like that, which I know you should be doing because it's polite. But when you text someone, you just go, I'm here. And you can do that on social, and it's just easier to transact business like that. But we actually found... at my previous company, that we got a 25% employee efficiency increase by using social. Mm-hmm. I then happened to go on to Google and found there was a McKinsey report that actually backed that up. And they're clever people, so it's got to be right, isn't it? But we actually found there was a number of processes where people were doing things quickly. Now, my previous company had 100,000 employees. So that meant we got 25,000 employees for free. I mean, that's a bit of a business case, isn't it?
It's absolutely a business case, and that's like everyone is like hoping to have the access to. But what I find very interesting, the term social also related, yeah? Because if we use it away from the web, it actually means I'm socializing, yeah? That kind of context. But if you look exactly, and I mean... We have a huge discussion in Germany about hate on Facebook on the one hand, but also, like we're saying, business-wise, where everyone is hoping to get access to, it doesn't really feel social the way they're using it.
Yes, I think that people react differently on different platforms, and I think most people now understand that you work in a different way. So LinkedIn is a lot more formal in the way, and Zing is a lot more formal in the way it works. So you generally don't get people posting about Donald Trump or something, and then everyone piles in about, how great his beliefs are on diversity or something like that. So that's a joke, by the way. It's my English, dry English sense of humour. Whereas on Facebook, you might get that. But what we've certainly found, there's other things that change. So, for example, job. If you take a job on LinkedIn, someone will like it. If you say, hey, here's a job, interesting, yeah, like, which will go through your network, the people that you're connected to, but it's there, but people may not see it. Mm. Whereas if you put a job ad or a job detail on Facebook, what the person will do is actually go, Johannes, have you seen that job? And you'll get a completely different reaction to that social transaction based on that different platform. So, yeah, and we are seeing people working differently on those different things. I think we'll always find that there's going to be a debate on Facebook.
For sure, but also since we're at a business context, quickly also highlighting this area because, okay, everyone wants to... do the social business.
Yeah.
And on the other side, there's also this term flying around the buzzword culture. say it this way, these kind of components, which I believe is very, very key, actually, that they belong together.
Yes. I agree. Knowing and doing are two different things.
Yeah.
What I found out when I rolled out social selling in the previous company was you'd run a session or a webinar or something, and everyone would nod and go, yeah, I really agree with that. And then nothing would happen.
Yeah, and I mean, it's that's what also connects us, because in the end, what I do with customer experience consulting, yeah, I way more go into the culture and the organization to help understand how do they have to collaborate to
yes.
do it. Yeah, and that basically the tech is kind of empowering. Yeah, and what you do with social is actually building in the same area. So we kind of, I think we're really going into culture and empower people.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that... I learned at my previous company, I made all the mistakes in rolling out social selling that most people make, which is you as I said, you run a webinar and nothing happens. You run knowledge-based training where you put people in the room and tell them everything you know, and they go, that's really great, and they go back to the desk and carry on doing what they did before. And then someone will actually stop you in the corridor and go, you know, you talked about a post on LinkedIn. What is a post on LinkedIn? And what's the difference between a post and a blog and a like? And actually what you find is that knowledge is actually right down here. But the thing is, it's about empowering people to get them to understand that they do know about these things, and it's they're actually in charge of their own destiny. And it's about making sure that those people, those people that are trained and coached, actually are empowering themselves to look in themselves, to talk on social differently. And it will be they that will do the work, not us or some marketing agency or something like that. Because it's only when they look in themselves and they change that you get real change.
And I think, because you talk about the young people who are kind of gate openers, but where a bit of the difficulty is, please correct me if I'm wrong, is related to what we had with different disciplines, that there's still kind of the old PR thinking in the companies, like the PR is the gatekeeper. Yeah, am I actually allowed either to go online or even to show myself with my company related in some posts? So there's still kind of some old thinking in the organizations, yeah, how it has been done for a very long time, yeah, and probably, I mean, you cannot say generally, but kind of also a fear in terms of
yes,
showing.
We see general fear in people because we've had a number of people come to us, especially after GDPR came out last year, where they've actually come to us and said that marketing isn't working anymore.
Yeah.
But that means that they have to stand up and say to people that they're spending money which they probably shouldn't have spent. I had a meeting with someone last week where I said to them, you know, about I talked about advertising and I said that it didn't work anymore, and they said, oh yeah, we spend marketing money on advertising. I said, what happened? They said, I don't know, because I use ad blockers. And he said, in fact, everybody else in marketing using ad blockers. I said, look, let me get this right. So you're spending a whole load of money on marketing, but you all use ad blockers. Yes. And then she realized what she said. And she said, oh, yeah, of course, with advertising, I can measure it. Right, okay, I still don't get this, because you just admitted that it doesn't work. Oh, yeah, but I can't connect revenue with social. And I said, well, I can. So, you know, it's the thing is there's a lot of old thinking, but as with anything new, we have to break down the barriers, but there is a lot of fear.
Yeah, and to wrap it up, I would like to also give an example to the audience listening and here within the event, because what happened is, in terms of relationship building, Tim and I got to know via LinkedIn and via Twitter. So I'm not sure if it has been 6 years ago or something like that, but in the end, what happened was we just thought, wow, interesting person, and we step by step got to know, we built a friendship, and now we're sitting here. And for me, I can really say it's been very nice having this history and sitting here together with you and also being able to first time bring you to Switzerland and Germany.
Thank you.
Because I really like working with you.
Good, thank you. And you know, I'm sitting here through social. We spend nothing on marketing. We do no outbound marketing. We get 3 pieces of inbound every single day. And we do that by using social. Not just by posting stuff, by using social in a programmatic way. And everybody else can do that. We measure share of voice. It's not a particular good science. But our competitors have 37 times more people than us. But we have 55% share of voice. Now, and we spend, and that's not paid media, that's earned media.
And this is something you can learn and where it makes sense also to get support.
Yeah.
And I think so, to encourage people in the end, really open yourself and go into the culture together with people to make.
And connect with us. You know, come have a look at my LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
I'm Timothy Tim Hughes. My mother still calls me Timothy, but I'm known as Tim. And come to my LinkedIn profile and have a look, because I think you'll find it very different from everybody else's LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, that's, to wrap it up, something very, very, actually sounding easy to start with, but you got to remember, it's your house, actually, and there's certain things.
On my LinkedIn profile, I talk about crying.
Yeah.
I talk about how I've cried at events that we've run. And for some people, actually having that level of authenticity is it would be a problem. But then I'm probably not going to be employed by those people. What I want are people to go, that looks like a person who can really help us.
Exactly. So thank you very much
thank
for
you.
Coming
You're
here.
Welcome.
It's been a really, really great pleasure.
Thank you.